This video is part of a collection of videos called Your First 40 Days in the Wilderness. It is a series of short daily devotionals designed to encourage and edify the new Christian. Our next few lessons will focus on a fifth and key principle of the Bible, and that is there are commands for worship. We will be looking at topics concerning the various aspects and elements of worship from a biblical point of view. Every Sunday, a large portion of the world's population passes through the doors of a building with a sign out front that says church on it. They go there to participate in a worship service or a religious ritual. However, with only a cursory glance, one can quickly discern that vast differences exist between the various religious services that are being conducted. In fact, many have replaced Sunday as the day of Christian worship by meeting on Saturday evening. This begs the following questions. Does it really matter how one worships? Is there a specific pattern? Are there instructions for what, when, why, and how Christians must worship? Well, the answer is yes. And a good understanding of this and the topic of worship is paramount for any true disciple of Christ to understand. So let's begin with the definition of the word worship. It comes from the biblical Greek proskuneo, which literally means to kiss the hand of, towards one. It is a sign of reverence, and a lot of times it involves kneeling or being prostrate. In addition, if we search the word worship in our Bibles, well, we'll find different kinds of worship mentioned. For example, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, it mentions worship that is vain. In Acts 17, verse 23, it mentions worship to an unknown God. Colossians 2, verse 23, talks about self-imposed worship. And Mark 15, verses 19 through 20, demonstrates a mocking worship, while John 4, verse 24, talks about a worship that is in spirit and truth. Now, from these verses, it should become apparent that there is a right way to worship, and there's also a wrong way. The fact is, everyone worships something or someone. We see this throughout the history of mankind, and even in our society today. Humans are creatures of worship in one way or another. Now, we'll either worship a deity, money, sports, fame, some object, or someone. Yet the Bible teaches that God is the creator of all mankind, and therefore, all of mankind should worship only Him. Now, John 4, verse 23 says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him." You see, God wants His creation to worship Him. So what does it mean to worship in spirit and truth? Well, in simple terms, worshiping in spirit refers to the attitude that one must have in worship. Worshiping in truth means that we practice the correct doctrine of worship as is found in the Bible. Let's look at both of these a little bit closer. When we think about attitude, it has to do with the heart. Perhaps a good way to remember how important worship is might be to recognize that it involves the whole heart. Colossians 3, verse 16 says that we should have the Word of Christ dwelling within our hearts. And Ephesians 5, verse 19 says that we are to make melody in our hearts. In contrast, one's heart can also be disengaged during worship, according to Matthew 15, verse 8. Now, this implies that it is possible to be at worship physically, but to not be there mentally. In other words, you're having the wrong attitude. So if we're not paying close attention to what we're saying and doing, then we do not have our hearts actively involved in our worship to God. Now, when we talk about doctrine, or worshiping God in truth, as that verse says, that means that we are to be following the teaching or patterns and commandments regarding worship as found in the New Testament. This is what is known as doctrine. And it doesn't take much to discern the specific commandments that we must obey or the examples that we should follow. And according to biblical instruction, there are five components of worship. The first one is partaking in the Lord's Supper, as we see in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26, and Acts 20, verse 7. Secondly, we see singing songs of praise and worship, according to Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19. Thirdly, we have prayer, just like it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 8. Fourth, we see an offering that was made. And as we see in passages like 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 Corinthians 9, 7. And then the fifth element is preaching the word, as instructed in Acts 20, verse 7, or 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, and Colossians 1, 28. You see, changing any part of worship results in the corruption of God's plan for worship, which leads to the destruction of the identity of the church. So in the next few lessons, we're going to discuss each of those five components of worship in a little bit more detail.